We all have a life that the Lord gives us. Don't know if you've ever thought of these things before like this, but you're in control of your life, and you're spending it. We've heard a couple times about decisions. You make decisions with what you're going to do with an allotment of time. Life is just a series of moments of time that you have put in your charge. You're going to have to, every one of us is going to have to give an account of what you do and what you've done with the time that the Lord's given you. To some, I don't know the great mind of God to be able to tell you why he does what he does, but he'll give to some a few days, sometimes weeks, sometimes just a few years of life that they hardly make much decisions with. And then sometimes you get to be a teenager, sometimes you get to be 20s or 30s, sometimes the Lord allows you to get old.
That's right.
I imagine in my mind that someone as old as I'm getting to be is going to have to give more of an account than what somebody is as it goes out of here at 8 years old.
That's right.
Because the Lord gave me more to do, do with. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is spending our time. Life is that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever thought about this, but life is things too. Life is things because you have to do something. You've got to spend your time for the things.
That's right.
The illustration is, young man's got a job. Maybe he makes, $10 an hour. He decides he's going to buy him a car. He's going to have to work a lot of hours that he'll devote of his life that God gave him. God gave him a life, and he's going to have to devote it to a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's any evil in it, that we need some things.
That's so.
But your life, you're spending it for a thing.
Amen.
If you're willing to live moderately, you'll spend less time on things than you will spend on luxurious things. Understand what I'm saying? It's why thievery is so repugnant to me. It's because a thief steals somebody else's life.
That's right.
If I've got to work 10 hours to make $100, and I take that $100 and buy something with it, and you come along and steal it, you just stole 10 hours of my life. That I had to pay for that. Because I've only got one life to live. You've only got one life to live. And you're going to make the decision of what you do with the life that you have. So we devote ourselves to things. And sometimes, folks, we live in a materialistic world. The Lord teaches us to be moderate in all things. We should be moderate in all things. All means is all. That's all means. That's what Brother Samuel just wanted to tell us. And so, but we're to be moderate in all things. The reason is we've only got one life to live. And if we allow ourselves to become immoderate about things, we're not going to spend the proper amount of our time here on this earth doing what we ought to be doing.
That's
making the decisions for what we ought to be doing in this life. Because the scripture says, Paul gave Timothy some real good advice when he said, be a good soldier. Because a good soldier entangleth not himself with the affairs of this life. Because you've got to pay your life for that thing that you're entangled with. So if you're paying your life for that, you only got so much of it. You may have to give an account for 50 years of life. And you may look back and say, I spent 45 years of that toiling for nothing but the things of this world. Things in excess. Things that's too much. I wanted a shinier, fancier something, so I did that. And because I did that, I spent my life for that.
That's
pretty easy concept, isn't it? It really is pretty easy when you get it down to that idea. Thief comes in and steals a bunch of stuff that I had to work hard to pay for. He stole some of my life. Because I made a decision. I got to work to get this. And so it goes on. We have a life that we have tonight. And you've only got one. And can I say this? What you spent is not redeemable. There ain't no going back and saying, you know what, those years back in my 20s was pretty poorly spent. So I'm going to hit reverse here and back up and do the 20s over. You spent the capital. That is spent. If I spent those years of my 20s playing sports, chasing, running, fooling around, I got a decade there of saying, folks, I spent it. I look back when I got my 30s and said, I spent it, didn't I? Well, thank the Lord, I got saved when I was right about before I hit 24. So I had a better account for the last years of that decade of my life. But I want to tell you, we're spending. Every moment you're spending. No backing up. Can't do teenagers years again. Can't do 20s years again. Can't do early marriages again. Don't do nothing about that stuff. It's spent. You ever hear of a guy named Kim Jong-un? I think it is. Kim Jong-un. You ever hear of that name? Well, for you that has, and he's kind of a short little round-faced guy with a bad haircut. That's what he is. He's a North Korean dictator. And I heard something the other day about, there's a lot of talk about the nuclear thing that North Korea is doing. It's in the news a lot. So they talk a lot about this character. And it was telling about the North Koreans. And it's sad to me because the common people over there are starving. They have a terrible life over there. Because of this dictator and the sanctions that went into that country and what they're doing to it, the common people are really suffering and they really have a bad life. And they was giving this report and I went away with that in my mind and I walked out towards the garden. I was raising a garden, just planting some stuff. And I walked out there and I was thinking about meditating on that situation. And I said, and I kind of thought in my mind, what a shame, and who in their right mind would want to spend their life like that? Who would want to bring sorrow and hardship to a whole nation of people? Who would want to choose? Make a decision. Who would choose that over trying to be the best leader that you could be and bring prosperity and happiness to the people?
That's right.
Who would want something like that, I thought. And I thought about, and who would choose a life like that? And the Lord spoke to me.
All right, brother.
And said, people do it all the time. Choose a life like that. When I'm offering them something beautiful and wonderful. I'm giving them something full of peace and happiness. We want happiness, but we make sorrow. We want peace, but we make war. Right? Why would anybody in their rational mind do that? Nobody in their rational mind does that. But sin isn't rational.
That's so, brother. Sin.
You hear me? Sin isn't rational.
That's so. Yes.
Lord, God told Adam and Eve that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they chose that.
Mm-hmm. They did.
They picked it. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you what happens. If we're not careful, the devil gets us into living our lives as if it goes on forever without judgment.
That's right.
The world today is trying to take judgment out of everything.
That's right.
They want to take out the fact that you're responsible for what you do. And they want to try to get rid of God so they can get rid of judgment.
That's right.
So they can get rid of the fact that if you don't do it right in this life, you're going to have to tell the God that gave you your life why you spent that life like that. Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I thought, why would somebody choose that? And yet, you look and people choose the sin over righteousness everywhere. And yet the Lord offers such a wonderful life. I've seen the destruction, you have too, no doubt, seen the destruction of many, many people. Now I know this is in a worldly way, and I think that Brother Larry would remember this. There was a young man that, if I'm not mistaken, he was a very young man, maybe even a freshman when this happened. But the Ohio State Buckeyes played for the national championship. And this there,
Maurice.
That was his name. This guy played the game of his life. He became famous as a running back. Right? And there was people that said, this guy has a career ahead of him. He's a young man and he's very talented. Brother Larry, you remember what happened to this guy? Well, he stole some stuff or something. It's the world and I don't promote it, okay? But I'm saying as far as the idea that sat behind ahead of him was success and he had something to look forward to, he ended up in jail. And everybody was like, what did you make a choice like that for? People would do, there's men out there, young men that would do about anything and work. There's men that work hard in the gym and do a lot of things and keep themselves disciplined. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I give myself a black eye, I do all these things, I run this race.
Yes.
I bring myself into subjection. He said, do it like a runner does it. He's tempered in all things. He brings his body under so he can win the race.
Amen.
Well, you know what? This young man threw it away.
Threw it away.
He just threw it away. You know, I've seen young people in the church throw the godliness away. They throw the blessing away. They come and it's there before them, and they chew. It's like there's a beautiful garden with a palace in the middle of it, and there's this wonderful life ahead of you. And over here is a landfill. A landfill with a sewage plant in it. And they say, forget that over there with the roses and the manicured yard and the everything's clean and pretty and beautiful. I want to jump in the cesspool over here. Lord, help.
Help, Lord. Yes.
You know, that's the way the Lord, we don't see it that way, but that's the way the Lord looks down upon people that take His holy plan of salvation that is meant to give blessing. Folks, listen, the preacher ain't up here preaching you to hell. I'm telling you of a beautiful, beautiful life.
That's so. That's so. Yes.
That the Lord wants to give people.
That's so. Wants to give.
And He looks down just like I did and say, why would anyone choose to live like that?
That's so.
And yet, if we ain't careful, we'll let the flesh get a hold of us until we'll be tempted to live, and we'll be reaching for, and we'll want the things of the Lord, but we'll want the things of the world too. It's like, but the Lord wants us to have an experience, folks, and this is where we get in trouble. When you're not willing to dive in wholesale to God, I want to give you a test. God, I know God satisfies the soul.
Yes, He does.
He will satisfy every longing you have, and you will never be as happy as you can be when you're sold out for God. He is the happiness maker. He is the fulfillment maker. I mean, He's the one that's going to give you peace in any storm. This is the one that can do that. But we come up short of having those things many times because we don't give wholesale to it.
That's right.
And we want to hang on to something that's bringing the misery and the heartache to us. And like I said, we want to be happy, but we make sorrow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to get along with everybody, but there's a nature about me that won't. If I ain't careful, I'm telling you, there's a nature. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
There is a place that in if we're not careful, Lord help us. Now there's a scripture over in Romans, 6th chapter of Romans. Oh, let's see. I'm going to back up a little bit and get the full thought of this. Maybe 20th verse. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Thank God. For the end of those things are death. You know, we preach these kind of things to our generationally. I've been around quite a while now. And that's no boast, but I've been, somebody told me recently, they looked right at me, and a fellow minister, and said, "Brother Marty, you're not a young minister anymore, so don't act like it." Young ministers get a lot of leeway with things, you know. I mean, it's true. You don't expect young ministers to jump out and preach a meeting and do some of that kind. He just looked at me and said, "Not you now.
Right.
You're there. Get in there and do it." Okay,
right.
But there is a place like that. Well, we preach, we teach.
Yes.
We want you to understand the blessing of this life the Lord wants you to have. The fulfillment of it.
Yes.
It's something God wants to give us and wants us to have in our lives. Lord help us. Lord help us to say it right. We preach it generationally. Okay? And it saddens me to see us lose our young people.
That's so.
And we have a beautiful group of young people.
Yes.
But it is a sad thing to me.
Uh-huh.
When they choose.
That's so, brother.
I will tell you the way I see it.
Okay, come on.
I never had any upbringing much.
Mm-hmm.
I had it surfacely just a little bit to understand about anything.
Yes.
I had a fear of God. I believed in God. But I had nothing more than that to understand salvation. And when the Lord dealt with me and I got saved, I felt like I threw the trash heap away to get the beauty. I traded beauty for ashes. You understand? I threw the ashes away.
That's right.
And I got the beauty. And it's been very meaningful to me that the things that the world had, I said, I don't need that.
Right.
Because I played the sports out there in the world. And it didn't fulfill me.
Right.
And I was still playing them when the Lord started dealing with me. And I was unhappy and miserable. And it didn't do it.
Right.
And I done the other things that you're supposed to get you, make it happen. And I done all those things. And I was miserable, miserable, miserable man at 23 years old.
Yeah.
And so the way I look at it is that the Lord come to me and I was... I was in the health of my life. I was in the strength of my life. And the Lord come, and I was in the misery of my life. And the Lord come along and said, "I'll swap you. I'll take all that stuff. And I'll give you something better." And now I'm with the people that's got something better trading for something that's worse. Oh, Lord, help us, I say. How can you do it? How can you take something that is presented to you so beautiful, so wonderful, so protecting, so secure, and
trade it for something
that's filthy? That I know what the end of those things are. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. It's like, don't go that way.
That's right.
Don't go that way. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit in holiness and the end, everlasting life. So this is the swap. And he says, for the wages. You ever think about that? You know what that's saying? For the wages of sin? It's putting it in a term so that we can have a picture, an understanding of something here. You get paid for it.
That's right. You get paid for it. That's right.
You get paid for your sin. That's the message. The wages. The interpretation of this directly is daily wages. Your daily wages of sin. You mean there is going to be a recompense?
That's right.
The world tries to tell you there's no recompense through a lot of different ways. But I'm here to proclaim to you tonight that the Lord says that the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
And you can sugarcoat it. Folks, you can take the old body when it dies and you can put a suit on it, and they make them up. They put makeup on them and they set the mouth a certain way and they can do it all. And what do you ever really notice all that stuff? Well, sometimes you notice that somebody said they want to be buried in something or like that. You notice that. But what's the overwhelming thought that you get when you look down on them? They're dead. You can put them in a fine three-piece suit. And you can comb their hair and you can do all the things that make them look as good as a corpse can look. And I ain't trying to be terse here. I'm telling you, there's wages for sin, and the scripture says they're death. They're dead. That's what the end of it's going to be.
Yeah.
And folks in Youngville, I'm going to tell you, you have dreams in your heart today. I dreamed as a young person, and you dream as a young person. I know what the young ladies dream of. They dream of marriage and home and family and of good things and having things they didn't have, and they dream of goodness.
Yeah.
But sin ain't going to bring you goodness. And Prince Charming that comes along and sweeps you off, if he ain't living for the Lord, he ain't going to bring you goodness.
That's right.
And don't be deceived with it, because the wages of sin isn't a good life. It's a bad life.
Amen.
The wages of sin is going to be death in your life and in your heart and in your marriage and in your family. And it's going to tear you down, and it's going to destroy you. And it causes heartaches and addictions and alcoholism. I mean, it causes the gambit of what's wrong with our world out there today is sin.
That's it.
Bottom line of it, sin.
Amen.
There's a huge population of Christianity that preaches a sin you must doctrine. Well, I'm going to tell you what a sin you must will get you. Death.
That's
what the scripture's going to say, that the wages of sin is death. Thank God, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7, he says, thank God. There's one.
Amen.
It's going to deliver you from the bondage of this death that I can't do no better. Now you can. Because there was one that come that died on the cross and brought the power of his grace and spirit into your life. You know, there is a reality of hell?
Yes.
Jesus talked about it. So, see, you can say Brother Marty don't know what he's talking about, but you ain't going to say Jesus don't know what he's talking about. Because Jesus knew what he was talking about. And he gave us a glimpse into those worlds, right?
That's right.
From what I tell you, there is a hell.
Yes.
But there is also an influence of hell.
Yes.
Okay? There is a place called hell for the eternal soul. Right? An eternal death. But the power of that influence has hell here. Do you know that there is a part of that eternal hell that is working in this world right now, because the power of hell is sin. And sin is working in this world, and therefore there will be a degree of hell. You can get an earnest of heaven. Did you know that? You can get an earnest of heaven.
Amen.
But I of sin is death, corruption, woe. Actually, it's just as true as it can be. There's 3 degrees of hell. There is the eternal hell. There is the influence of hell into this world. And then we can go farther. There is the influence of hell in here. In here. Hell can touch you. And you can become a part of hell. You ever hear this saying, there'll be hell to pay? It's an old saying, means something's going to happen. You know, there's a reality to that. Because sin brings that hell on this earth, and it brings it within us. And these, and when if you think that you can live the way you ought to live with a taste of hell in your heart, you can't. That thing will drive you to hatred, bitterness, envies, all kind of wickedness will come out of that pit that's called hell into an influence of this, and through those evil spirits, you can be affected of it too. But there's one that comes that gave a deliverance from that. Amen. You don't have to have hell raining down in there in your heart. The wages of sin tonight is death. For the wages of sin is death. But listen to this. This is the way this picture's out. There is, I'm going to say this. You're going to go, you make it to hell, you'll well have earned it. And God wouldn't be just to give you, if He didn't pay you for what you worked for. And when you work so hard for the devil, and you work so hard for sin, God's going to pay you for it. He's going to pay you a just reward for your day's work, your time worked. Now somebody made this, and it was very enlightening to me. I believe it to be true. It was a minister, and he was debating this young man that was an atheist, and the atheist made this comment: I can't believe there's a God. I can't believe that there's a loving God, because if he was a loving God, how could he send people to hell? This guy said, I'll explain it to you, because it's very simple. He comes and deals with your heart in this world and offers you heaven. Because the influence of heaven is what he's giving.
That's so.
And you say, I despise that. A just God is not going to make you live eternally in something that you despise on earth. All He's offering us here now in the way of salvation is a part of heaven. Eternal life starts here. It starts here. It's a bit of heaven to where you say everything that heaven is, purity and holiness and righteousness and love and all this in its purest form, if I say, I embrace that, I want that, Lord help me to have that, He's going to make sure you do.
That's right.
And when you say, I choose, no God, I choose hell over heaven, don't blame God. Don't despise His love, or don't shame His love because you choose to, that you would rather have hell, because He's going to pay you for it. Now He says here, the wages of sin's death, but did you notice He didn't say the wages of living or righteousness is heaven? Because He took it beyond that.
Yes, He did.
That's the gift of God.
That's His gift.
Forget trying to work for this. You work. There's a work involved, and there's decisions we make in that. There is things you do. You have to repent. You've got to make the decisions. But salvation is a gift of God. It's where God takes a little hold of heaven in the form of Christ. He brought it to this earth, and He offers you right here in an old sin. He offers it to the ones got hell in there.
That's right.
And He says, I will, in my blood, wash hell out of your heart, and I will replace it with heaven. I'm going to give a little bit of heaven into your heart. You know, when I got saved, there was just some amazing things happened. It was amazing to me.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
I went a little bit, just rejoicing that I was saved. Then all of a sudden something happened where I normally would have been a little bit envious over something. And I said, where's the envy at? And I was like, I ain't envious. God done something for me I didn't even know.
Amen.
He put heaven in there and took the bad stuff out.
Amen.
I come along and found out God done a work in there I didn't even know he done. He cleaned some things up I didn't even know he cleaned up. It took a little while and it come around. And now it's cleaned up.
Amen.
He took the hell out, put the heaven in.
Yes.
But he says the wages, folks, I'm going to warn you tonight. In love, God's offering you a part of his heaven tonight. Holy and righteous. A part of himself and where he belongs. You know, heaven isn't heaven without God, is it? I mean, heaven to me is all these things, but it is the expression of God. Is what heaven is. Heaven is a place we'll dwell in God. It's all God. It's all God. And he's willing to take a part of him and give it to you. And then you're fit for his place. And he'll come and get it and take it back. He's going to take, all he's going to do is come and get heaven and take it back to where it belongs.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do. But the wages of sin. You mean I can live a life without sin? By the grace of God.
Amen.
By the grace of God, you can. Now, listen, I'm a realist. I'm a realist about my experience. If it gets better, I'll tell you. But I'm a realist about it. And I face battles sometimes that I faced before. And I got the victory over them. And I face them and I have to get victory again. That's the way it works with me. But sometimes I just have to get a little bit more victory. You all heard me tell the story, but I had a guy hold a gun to my head and abused me and done some things like that. And I had a great victory while he was doing it.
Yeah.
And then the old devil come along, and you know what he tried to do? Got a little hell for you. No, he didn't say that. He started working through my flesh, but he had a little hell stuck behind his back. It was in the form of hatred and envy, or in hatred and vengeance.
Yeah.
And he had it stuck by his back and offering it to me. He comes and he's going to offer it to me. And you know what? The battle was a little hotter at times. Driving down the road, nothing be but the thinking in my mind, thinking and going along, and everybody else is asleep, and nothing going on but me thinking about stuff. The old devil's there on one shoulder thinking this. Man, this is what you ought to do next time. You run into him again, you ought to do this. Boy, put a fist in his face or knock him out or just swerve at him. Run him off the road. I mean, I don't know if all those thoughts come. I mean, those thoughts like that.
Yeah.
Folks, that's hell. You know what I'm saying? It's hell. He offered it to me. You know how many people bite? Don't bite.
Don't bite.
He's trying to offer you something. And the Bible says the wages of that's death. You got hell in you when you finalize this thing. Hell as you go.
That's right.
You got heaven in there? Heaven you go.
Amen.
I fought the battle and won it. Thank God. Didn't have no bitterness or envy or anything. And like that. And then sometime later, I had a victory. Sometime later, that thing, Sister Maxine, that thing hit me again. You ever had that happen? Well, wait a minute, I got victory on this. What's this? So devil sneaking around another angle. Come in from a different direction. Got some more hell here. You want a bite? You want some of this? No. I know what the wages of sin is. But the gift, the continual gift that I can say to the devil, nope. Because I got a gift. I got a gift of God. He took all that out one time. Don't want it back in there. He done a work one time. I don't mess that work up. He gave me something that I couldn't earn or buy. He done something that I couldn't do. And I have to be the one that says, Lord, I'm sorry for the 20 some odd years that I rebelled. You know what I tell you? God's so good. We had television at home. And when I was growing up, and I remember one day we was going to the park. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years old. I don't remember. I was up in teenage years, and I was hurrying to get ready to go to the park, going with some friends. And so I rushed in to change my clothes. I got my stuff, and I went running by, and this happened just his way. That's my memory. I went to run, but went by there, and there was a guy, and I looked over at the TV, and he said, "Young man," or something like that. And I looked over there, and he said, "Jesus loves you and wants to save you." Now, I know you might think, Lord, don't the Lord can use whatever he wants to use. Don't you put God in the box. Don't God use whatever you... And I stopped. I'm going to tell you, I stopped. That pricked my heart.
Pricked it, didn't it, bro?
Okay. I mean, just like that. And I was getting ready to go do things, you know, I do. And stopped me in my tracks, this old preacher on TV that tells, "Jesus loves you, wants to save you." He was right there, and I had to just... I didn't even hardly have a background on it. God's fire. And I remember today what it felt like to be under that moment of conviction where was wrestling in my heart to get the hell out.
Yeah.
He wants to take care. He wants to put something else in there. He wants to put something else in there. He won't do it. He won't overpower you to do it. The gift of God is offered. Not thrown, not forced, not choked. You don't choke you down with it. The gift is offered. He says to those that are bound to the things of hell, that get tired of it, there will be people that will live their life and love the things of this world and love hell, and God will deal with them and offer them love righteousness instead, love holiness instead, love goodness and love God and love those things. Because there's two places to go, and if you love the one, you get to go there. Because you're fitted for it.
Yeah.
And if you love the other, you give your heart to the other you go. It's not a hard idea. God is a righteous God. God will allow you to choose your destiny tonight. He offers the gift of God, which is eternal life. But it starts here. You will demonstrate your homeland on this earth. Do you know that? You will demonstrate where your home's at before you leave here.
That's true.
If your home's heaven, you'll be a child of heaven.
Amen.
If your home's hell, you'll be a child of hell. Loving and wanting those kind of things. Loving the revenge, loving the envies, chasing those kind of things, the lust of this world and those things, and chase those things. We spend our lives, the scripture says, as a tale that was told. Anybody in here except for me see, it seems like to you that the time's in high gear?
Oh, yeah.
I mean fast.
Yes, it is.
I had a moment in my life where I loved a certain young woman, and we made our vows together, and I turned around, and it was 18 years ago. It was 18 years ago, and not long after that, we had this beautiful, beautiful little girl. About a year or so later, it was beautiful young girl. I remember everybody. I think everybody said, "She's a beautiful child. She's a beautiful child." I just thought she was too. She was just a beautiful child, and now she thinks she's going to go off next year and graduate. I mean, they're driving, and I mean, we're spending our time.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's going to be some things that I can say to the Lord that I spent my time doing that I'm going to say thank you. You, Jesus,
amen,
for allowing me to spend my time like this.
Amen.
Thank you for every meeting that we was in.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for every, I'll say this in the spiritual realm.
Yes, in the spiritual realm.
Thank you for the miles you let me travel with my family.
Yes.
Sometimes in the middle of the night, I can really think of it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people make these comments to me because I've been full-time for quite a while, and they'll say these times, well, you don't have a job. You know, I let that ride over pretty easy. Except for in the middle of the night. You think I ain't got a job and I'm driving from my house to Oklahoma overnight? I got a job. I got a job. When somebody calls me to do a funeral for somebody I didn't even know, I got a job, Brother Carl. There's things in here, but I'm going to thank God for everything he let me do.
Amen.
In that realm, thank you, Jesus, that I got to live that kind of a life and spend my time. Spend my time the way I've been able to spend it. You might look at it and say, well, you've dallied around a lot. You've done this and that, but I've done it with my family, and I've done it in my congregation and for the Lord, and I thank God for it. Lord, help me.
Yes.
If there's something that God wants me to do, I've been thinking more and more about it. Because I'm going to tell you why I think more and more about it. Because it's getting shorter and shorter to be able to do whatever I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And me and my wife always had this idea, and we've got little children, and I know that things is changing, but I've always had this, we've had this desire we both had that we'd like to just be able to just go. And we love the nursing home scene. I'm going to tell you, you want to pray for somebody that... You want to go visit somebody that wants you there. You know, sometimes I go to somebody, I don't know if they want me there. There's a woman up there that she always watched these situations. She wanted me to visit her husband. Well, sure she did. He didn't want me to visit. I went to visit and it was real obvious that she wanted me there. He didn't want me there. Really, really obvious. Didn't work real well. But I'm going to tell you, you want to visit somebody that wants you there? Go to some of these homes.
That's so true.
And I don't know, maybe Linda would say it different if I hadn't told her to stand up and testify for me here, but I believe I can say this, that not one time in the years that we've done it has she ever said to someone, would you like us to have prayer for you? And them say no. Honey, have they ever turned us down? They usually want us, please! Please pray for us. Please. I mean, you talk about, in any way, I've had this and it's reoccurring at times. Lord, if you allow me the life to spend, if you give me the life to spend, I'd like to be free to just map me out a course across this country.
Yes, Lord.
Just stop it at the little communities and place and just go in and just meet people and bless them with the things of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And if they'll accept it, give it. I don't know. I've got that, and you all pray too, because if the Lord will let me do that, I'd love to do that with Linda sometime in our years to come, is just be able to just go and just go to these places. Go stay, hit this one, because I'm going to tell you, in my ministry, I felt the anointing, I feel like. If you all doubt it, I don't mind, but I feel like I felt the anointing from the pulpit sometimes that God was there. But I ain't never come away like I've come away from these homes sometimes when people want.
It's wonderful, brother. No, it's just wonderful.
And sometimes it's a burden. It's hard to do. It's hard to get through some of it.
Yes.
But when you do, it is so rich.
It is so rich.
And I want to tell you, I've felt at times before, and when I look at the scriptures for a message, I'll look at the scriptures and say, Lord, anoint me.
Yes.
Inspiration from God. I know it from a word before. I know when God does it. I know because the inspiration brings it to life to me. I know it.
Yes.
And can I tell you something? I felt that in the homes,
right in the home.
Over and over again when I pray. I feel the Lord give me words. It gives me a, if I can say this, and again, if you argue, it's okay. But the Lord gives us a certain personality for it. I can go in and the Lord gives me a certain winning way. My wife has it. We're a team. She goes into the rooms and she can just light up. And she'll sometimes say to me, hey, honey, come in here. You want prayer or what? It works. I'm just saying from my heart. It's what my desire is. But you'll spend your time you're going to spend it.
Yes.
And one of these days it's going to wrap up and it's going to be a tale that's told. And you're going to have to go to the Lord and say, this is what I've done with my time. I know y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We live in a technological world. It's consuming people. I ain't getting the bad, but I'm just telling you from the watchman on the wall that when I am traveling, I pull up the red light and I look at the cars beside me and they all pull out that thing and start dancing the time that the light had turned green. I can't help from thinking somebody's got some problems going on here.
That's right.
I mean, when it is all good, when the video game, the flashing of that screen and the desire that I see in it. Now, I think she's too little to embarrass. I don't think she's even going to hear me. But I'm going to say this about my little girl. She was playing this little game, this harmless little game, okay?
Right.
We wouldn't let her play nothing else.
Uh-huh.
But I saw the funniest little thing. Her mama was leaving. And she goes with her mama.
Okay.
Right? I mean, she's mama's girl.
Okay.
She goes with mama. The mama ain't going far. She's playing this game.
Okay.
I said to her, but I called her by name and said, mama's leaving. And she's like, I'm in this game. She's like, I want this game. And she's all of a sudden, you can see this little four-year-old is torn.
Uh-huh.
Torn between the fact that I'm mid-game. 4 years old, and she's, I got to do this game. She's telling me, Daddy, I'm in the middle of the game. Your mama's leaving. She's going to go. She's already out there, and she's consumed. Is it? You're going to spend, folks, listen. You're spending a precious commodity called life. I just want to warn you. I see it. You're going, there will never be a church standard on it. Don't wait till the church gets to put, they won't. This is going to be an individual place that you're going to have to get the gift of God. The grace of God to say, this is not right for my life. Be sensitive to the Lord and always say, Lord, please check me with everything that I do. Help me if I'm being consumed. Help me that it's time. You lead me in these things and then give me the grace to do whatever I have to do. Put barriers up or put limits or whatever I have to do because I'm spending my life. I know this is only a point. We stop at Cracker Barrel sometimes. One of the times we stopped at Cracker Barrel, I just sit there and laugh. We're with the family there. And I look over, and there's obviously a young couple. An interested, romantic couple. It's obvious they're either newly married or close to that, or somewhere around there. They were sitting across from me. Real romantic, folks. They're on their gadgets. So I look over here. This needed to be picture taken of this one. There was a young girl there, if my assumptions is right. There's a young girl there on her gadget, and there was an old lady that looked every bit like her grandmother.
Okay.
Sitting over there like this. Like, I brought my granddaughter for some time. And I can't get it.
That's right.
Oh, it's fine. We are in a world that these things are very useful. But it kind of started to think that the Lord's looking down saying, Marty, Sunday's coming. Consumed. You're going to spend your life. If it was just that simple and it went from there, fine. But I know what a lessening relationship with the Lord does. It means when the devil comes up with something behind his back, you're much more susceptible to it. It means you're much more weaker in times of temptation. You're much more likely you get trapped when the Lord isn't close. So we're going to spend. I'm going to try to tie this in with one other scripture, Haggai. Very familiar. First chapter, remember? Maybe we'll read some of it. We'll start with the second verse. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And that's what we're asking you to do tonight. You have a commodity. Lord, I'm going to tell you, the Lord owns this universe.
Yes, he does.
The Lord can make something out of nothing. For us to assume, as I believe he said to Job, if I was hungry, would I ask you to feed me? No, you wouldn't. There'd be no need to do that. So the Lord ain't asking for all those things. But I wonder what the Lord is asking for. He's asking for your life, which means your time. You can spend it in luxury. You can spend it in excess. But if you spend it that way, you won't be spending it for the Lord. So he asks for this quality that he gave you, time. And he says, will you give me your time back? The things of the Lord are measured in a lot of different ways. Brother Veda McMillan one time told testimony in a Wednesday night service, I believe, that he was pressing his wife Carrie. Come on, let's go. Service time. Don't want to be late. Don't want to be late. She's on the phone. On the phone, your phone talking deal. On the phone. And he was, come on, let's go. The Lord's way is important. The Lord's way. You don't want to be late. He testified to this. When he got there, he said, she was dealing with the soul. She was doing the Lord's work. She was doing what we tried to promote one another to do when we come to service. So that was the test, and it comes in a lot of ways. I won't make, by the Lord's help, won't make a bad judgment on any of those ways. You taking care of your elderly parents is the way of the Lord. You helping your neighbor is the way of the Lord. I won't put any restriction on what it is, but the Lord knows what his way is. And he won't, there's no pretense with the Lord. So, my house is being left undone. The work of God goes on, but yet, we're in a very modern world. And we can be captivated by entertainments. Entertainment. Brother Tony said one time, split it on the board. Entertain. Tain, what is that, a suffix? Tain, to hold. Enter in, to hold from within. Entertainment has got you chained inwardly. When you say, I'm being entertained, you are being held in place by a gadget. It's got your heart, got you held. The Lord comes along and says, you're building, you're putting your time, you've got time. I gave you time, and you're taking your time and building your house. You're taking your life and spending it for yourself. I'll give you time to spend for yourself. Build mine first. Build mine first, folks. Every one of us in here will have to do the duties of life. And it's a part of God to do them. But you've got to put God first. If you don't put God first, you're all the way out of order. And you spend. You spend the life that was given you for things that shouldn't be spent for. He says here, is it time for you? Dwell in your sealed houses and the house lot and this house lie ways? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, spinning our wheels, spinning our wheels. You know, there's been people that, Brother Carl testified to this before the Lord got a hold of his heart, that he was bound and determined to be a millionaire. May have made it, Brother Carl, who knows? There's people that do that, that find out at the end of the way that it didn't do nothing for them.
That's true.
They done it, they accomplished it, and so what? I'm still miserable. My wife run off with somebody else. I've heard these stories over and over. We lost that, didn't pay her no attention, she left, no this, didn't get along with the children, was never around, never had a relationship, they're gone. I wanted so much from it and intended so much and it brought me nothing. I ain't fulfilled, I ain't contented, don't have anything. The Lord warns us here with that. Consider your ways. You've sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but you're not warm. None of you's warm. It isn't doing it. Folks, it isn't doing it and never will do it. The wages of sin isn't wholesome. It isn't warm. It isn't good. It's death. And when we spend it that way, that's all we can obtain. It's rottenness, rottenness, rottenness. Powerball lotteries. Captivating people. By the millions, because there's a hope. And if I win that, I will have it made. Statistics, there have been studies done on it. Big studies. Heartache follows them big winners.
Oh, yeah.
Heartache and heartache and heartache follows those people. The people think they can handle it and they'll do good things with it. And it follows them like death. It does.
That's true.
You clothe even none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You know what that is? That's an illustration of what happens to life. I'm spending my life. Like I earn money and I have no buying power with it. I have a life and I'm spending my life on moments. And I'm getting nowhere. Nowhere. If the Lord grants me that I live to be as old as my dad, I'm going to have at least 25 more years. What am I going to do with 25 years? Well, the way it feels, turn around twice and jump up and down twice and that'll be about it. Because it's going so fast. But what am I going to do? I think more and more about it all the time. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Host, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood. Build the house. I'll take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much. What are you wanting? I can tell you this over a lot of cases. Knew a young woman. Grew up to that age of womanhood. Does what normal people do. Wanted a home, family, met a young guy. Neither one of them had any intentions of living for the Lord, but you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. Pretty immediately started a family, had children. Wasn't long before the whole thing went haywire and went bankrupt. The whole thing went bankrupt. She had dreams. They didn't get married saying we're going to do this for a couple of years and split up. No, this was a love forever thing, like they always are. Sin don't work that way, folks.
That's right.
Sin brings heartache.
Yes, it does.
It brings suffering.
Yes.
It brings hurt. Now that then there's a family. There's these little boys that have to grow up without their daddy. You consider if it's worth it or not. But they grew up without their daddy. They grew up without him there. He didn't get to be. They grew up in a less than perfect situation. And then you look at what they grew up to be, and you find. You know what you find? The same pattern reoccurs over and over again. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you in a short version. Because it's what you want. It's what you choose. Why, saith the Lord? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon the men and upon the cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. You could say, well, there's no way that there could be a loving God and people go to hell. And I disagree with you totally.
Yeah.
In the idea of a loving God and a God that made man for his choice, he will simply give you what you want for all eternity.
Yeah.
And when you despise and hate his Jesus on this earth,
yeah,
and his chance, and you hate righteousness, you hate everything that's good and right, he would be an unjust God to make you live in that for eternity. So he won't. He won't let you, he won't allow you, he won't make you live in that for eternity. He'll give you what you choose here.
That's right.
Don't choose it.
No.
Don't be like that North Korean situation. Don't be like those people out there. I never understand why a young person in hell would want to go and fry their brains with meth. I don't understand it. When I know that they can have such a wonderful, beautiful life in the Lord.
Amen.
And go to heaven when it's done.
Yeah.
And they choose drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they choose gangs and fighting and shooting and killing.
Yeah.
Why? They choose sin of all manner. Why? Jesus said in one place, he said, I call heaven. I'm going to do it in my own words. I call heaven to witness this. Angels, come and look at this. Look at what they've done. They've done these two evils. Look at what they've done. First, they reject the fountain of living water. Now here's the illustration. You're out in a hot, parched, dry land. And there is this artesian well just bringing forth pure, cold water. And you look at that and say, uh-uh. I ain't drinking that stuff. Let's dig. It's free. It's there. No. Let's go work hard. And dig us out a pit, a hole in a stone here. Let's dig it out. Then let's fill it with water. Let's wait till it gets warm. And there gets to be a lot of sediments in it. And let's get into that. And then let's pack it for a long ways to do it. Make sure we work real hard for it. So we can do it our way. I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's like. God saying, here's the gift of life. I will give it to you freely. Everything that you want. Everything that you would make you happy. And you say, I ain't drinking that. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to dig me a cistern. Come and witness this. I set pure water before them and they won't drink it. They have to go get this brackish, dirty water that they can't, and it's got holes in it, and they can't keep it full, and they have to labor all their days to keep their cisterns full. And the Lord used that as an illustration for the people of Israel, how they turn from God over and over. I'm going to tell you what the wages of sin, folks, is death. You're going to spend your time doing something. There's no way to alter or change this. You're going to spend your time doing something. You're spending it now.
Yes.
You're spending it now listening to me. You're spending it. And you'll go from here and you'll spend it. Next week you'll spend it. And if you desire something grand or great, you may spend your life to pay for it. Some things you just can't afford. I'm going to say that. There's things that you can't afford. And it has nothing to do with your bank account. There's things that you can't afford. We're going to spend our life doing something. We'll make an invitation to anyone here that's been not spending their life well, because I know that the Lord is offering the free gift. A little bit of heaven's waiting for you. You get that in there, then it's homeward bound. It's heaven's place. You pray for me.